not to hear from Nike's lawyers, but really, if you want something, just do it. Just try, have fun, make mistakes.
Hello, you've reached Hotline Design Podcast. How may we help you?
And welcome back to Hotline Design Podcast. In this week's episode, we sit down, look in, and pipe up for our annual season retro. What we liked, what we longed for, what we learned, but most importantly, the friendships we made along the way. But first, ladies, I have to know, how have your weeks been?
Hello, hello. So I think 2 weeks ago, I finally, I don't know why I say it like that. I'm not excited about it. I had my first time having COVID and I feel like incredibly lucky. I didn't need anything specific from it. I managed to get over it. But yeah, since then, I kind of tested negative now and I managed to go out with my dog for the first time. I took her in town and she's been an absolute cutie. It was our first time, just the two of us, out and about. And I want her to be the kind of dog that I take with me everywhere. So this was a test and I feel like we both passed it. We can do this. Because at the times in the past, she's been quite stressful to take with. But yeah, I think she's almost two now, so she's getting better. But work-wise, things have been really cool because I finally got access to the Figma design system for my client. Before that, I was just trying to work in lo-fi stuff and make things work. But I finally can design in their design system and I'm really, really excited about that. And it's been fun to kind of like explore it as well. So yeah, things are really positive. How's your week been?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you had COVID. It seems like it was really tough, but it also sounds like you're a lot better now. And yeah, like on my end, I feel a bit out of it. I just got back from my holiday. So I was in Italy last week and that was such a nice break. Literally tried to, again, do this whole thing where I didn't bring my laptop with me and I didn't feel obliged to work or anything. So just had a really good time chilling and doing lots of hikes and swimming, which is awesome. Yeah, but like, I guess I was quite busy before I went on holiday. So it was nice to have a bit of a break. Been doing a lot of product thinking in my current role as well, but it's going to be quite exciting because right now we've nailed down some solutions or some ideas that we have, and hopefully next week I'm going to be doing a lot more unmoderated user testing just to see how people respond to these concepts initially. And I think it's always super exciting to just launch some quick tests and see what people say, because it gives you some early strong signals of whether your ideas are moving in the right direction. So yeah, work-wise, really positive. And yeah, it's nice to be recording this episode today and kind of putting a wrapper on our season.
That update sounds a lot more fun. I love that you had the break and yeah, it sounds awesome.
And what about you, Lauren?
So like Lavinia, I too finally, after years of outrunning, succumbed to COVID-19. I am no longer a COVID virgin. I am a seasoned COVIDista, if you will. Fortunately, like it wasn't too intense. So thanks to everyone that helped develop those boosters. Like really, really appreciate that.
Thank you.
But yeah, it kind of like it took me down for about a week. And now I am testing negative. And I think when I'm sick, I watch a lot of like historical dramas. So now that I'm better, I'm like, I am re-entering society as a debutante. Like, let me promenade in public, which is no normal way to re-enter civil society. So I think I definitely need to like talk to more people than just my partner that's been confined with me in the flat for the past like week and a half. But yeah, apologies in advance if I sound a little nasally, but you know, getting better slowly but surely.
We will accept you in modern society with that vocabulary as well. Don't worry. We actually love it.
Amazing. Yeah, I know. I'm like, does someone need to present me at court so I can like come back to work? And they're like, maybe you should take some more time off.
Yeah.
All there. So, but speaking of something that's all there, This week, we are doing our annual tried and true season end retrospective. So I thought I'd just take a step back and talk through retrospectives and just give an overview to those listeners at home that might be curious or that haven't encountered retrospectives. So retrospectives come from the Agile methodology and are a time for teams to get together and reflect on what's been working well versus what hasn't been working too well. So in Agile teams, these tend to be at the end of a sprint, so they tend to happen every 2 weeks or so, though every team is different. And part of Agile is like finding out and iterating on what works for your particular team and your particular team's circumstances. And so the team determines how they sustain the good stuff, and they really have a hard look at the stuff that isn't working and understand maybe how to pivot or try and experiment to improve the bits that, yeah, haven't been working. So this is really textbook continuous or iterative improvement, just as you would with the product. It's great to duplicate your successes and really learn from your failures. Or as really my Agile tramp stamp would say, fail fast, but have a blast.
I love the addition of the Agile tramp stamp. I can completely imagine getting that as a tattoo on a drunken night out.
So yeah, that's going to be the co-host tattoo now. Gals, if you could please reserve the lower back area. Maybe we could get flanked by like dolphins or butterflies or like a wiener dog or a beautiful cat.
Oh, God.
But yeah, fail fast and have a blast.
I would say let's not forget our first tagline, which I think it was no hating, just iterating or something. Oh, yeah. About that. Yeah, I thought that was brilliant. So if we are getting this one,
leave.
Yeah, please, let's not forget the OG one.
Exciting. I look forward to that. thanks for that overview, actually, of what a retrospective is. There are a number of different ways to structure an Agile retro that I think we've all used before on previous projects or in our previous roles. So one of them is start, stop, continue. And I remember we used to do this, Lavinia and Lauren, did you kind of run these retrospective sessions when we were all in the same company, like working in the same design practice? We would go around in a group and ask people if they had any like new ideas for how we could improve collaboration within the practice, what we would maybe stop and perhaps what we could continue. So I guess that's pretty self-explanatory in terms of how it works. And then we have Rosebud and Thorn, which I believe was the format we used for our previous retro for this podcast. Rose is basically something we like, but represents an opportunity to do something in a different way. And Thorn is basically a prickly or a thorny problem that we had that, you know, we kind of wanted to limit or a pain point. There's also what, so what, now what? And also how might we, which is kind of the default way of framing a problem that we want to solve, thinking about the possibilities that might exist for solving this problem. And so before we did this retro session, we actually did a bit of a mini retro where we thought about some of the pain points that we were facing and tried to reframe them as how might we questions. So for today's retro, we're going to keep it simple with liked, longed for, and learnt. So the triple L's, which would work if my name started with an L, but it doesn't. So kind of the
odd. Come on, loosen.
Here. Loosen. My new alter ego for this retrospective. And yeah, I guess for this retro, pro tip is to try and keep things action-based and civil as well, so no tagging and dragging. I'm sure that's not a reminder we need because I think generally we are, you know, really good at just being very diplomatic, but also very genuine with what we think.
It's astonishing how few glasses of Chardonnay have been thrown over the course of these two seasons between the co-hosts. Like, yeah. We would have the most boring reality TV show where we just talk about trying to get on the housing ladder.
Basically.
And cute animals.
Oh, and Marie Kondo as well, like tidying up your house.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, it's the first time I heard about the what, so what, now what method. And that doesn't sound very civil because, like, you just speak, like, someone brings an idea and you're like, so what? Now what?
I think it's the Lil Jon method. It's like, what?
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 I feel like out of all of them, that is the one that can turn out not that civil. But yeah. Speaking about keeping things civil and positive, should we talk about what we liked? If you had to distill it down to one thing, what was your top like of season two of Hotline Design? And you don't have to keep necessarily to one thing, but yeah, maybe start with that.
For me, it was definitely having lots of guests on our episode. We had Sisterhood, we also had Lauren's fantastic sister, Andrea, and we had Adam as well. Yeah, it was just great. I think having these interactions with different guests on our podcast, they're all doing some pretty amazing work out there. And I think they brought their own sort of like specialty and the topic of interest to the podcast. And I definitely learned a lot just from speaking to them and kind of listening to how passionate they were about their specific area of interest. So for me, guest episodes were definitely a winner, hands down.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we just, all of our guests, like, completely knocked out of the park. And I feel like we could just sit back. And I was just in awe of, like, how eloquent everyone was, how passionate they were, and just, like, how much you learn. So just, like, shout out to all the guests. Thank you so, so much. And all the Hotline Design hotline callers, like, it's just been great to get people calling in or sharing their inputs. I'm just in awe. One thing I really loved was, and I don't know if the listeners at home have noticed, but in terms of how we organize like our notes and the structure of the podcast, and one day we might go into a bit more detail about this, but I really enjoy it. We're piloting a bit of a shorter format. So we're time boxing things, trying to kind of move through sections in a more succinct way. And one, that makes it a lot easier with editing. But two, I think it creates like a tighter podcast in the end. So I'm really liking this kind of shorter format, more direct.
I love it. Everything you said. And yeah, I think the guests are definitely the highlight of this season. But I would say that I also feel like I learned a lot from you two as well. Like, the guests are obviously amazing. But every time we kind of have a pod and everything, no matter what the actual theme is, I learn from you two as well. It can be like a new methodology. It can be a new way to do retros. Like, I didn't hear about the what, so what, or now what one before. It can be a new perspective, like a new way to approach something that maybe I've done in the past, but you are doing it differently, and it can kind of improve how I do it next time. So yeah, for me, that was definitely a highlight as well.
And yeah, given that we're having a look back, we're having a look within, moving on to the next L, which is long for. So this is basically asking us to reflect and look at something that maybe we feel like we could do better going forward into season three.
So because our L is what kind of did we long for, I feel like what I longed for was an editor. Like, but yeah, I basically ran out of Logic Pro 90 days free, and I had to learn Audition, which is an Adobe product and which we have access to. Yeah, I longed for both an editor or at least more Logic Pro free time. If anyone wants to sponsor us with a Logic Pro subscription, I'll take it. That was kind of it from me. I think editing is the biggest pain point. Everything else about the pod is great, but editing is painful.
Yeah, I think I have a very similar perspective. So for me, editing itself is actually not that bad. Like, I definitely don't want to put anyone off if you're listening to our podcast and you're thinking of starting your own. I think for me, it was more like of a mental block, always thinking that there was loads to edit. But in actual fact, there isn't that much. It's just maybe getting set up once you start editing the first 5 minutes. It actually becomes like considerably easier from there. So I think for me, what I longed for was getting over the mental block of editing the episodes. And yeah, I think that was mainly it, to be honest, because everything else was really good. I think we kind of had our processes down like really tight, where before each episode we would meet up, we would kind of plan out a schedule, and then also make sure that we had the show notes down so that when we actually edited, it would be just really easy to refer back to our notes. But I think in terms of what I longed for, it was probably maybe some refinement on my end around the editing process, like how to just make sure I got into that flow state really quickly.
Yeah, I feel that. Editing by far, like it is, it seems like such a huge undertaking and very daunting. So I totally get the, like, it's really hard to get into it. On my end, what I long for, and perhaps it's because a lot of my work right now is like solely research based, but just understanding and kind of listening to the listeners, you the listeners, on what you kind of enjoy, understanding what episodes you're drawn to, which ones, you know, you don't have as big of a connection to. How do you feel about the guest episode, the book review episodes, our more standard episode where it's just the three of us? Do you like a mix? What length works? It's just a lot of these questions. So don't be surprised if you are a known longtime listener and over the next few months, I just strike up a conversation and just kind of ask you about, like, for any feedback, just because thank you to all the listeners. I just want to know what works for you guys at the end of the day.
In true UX fashion.
For sure. All in the spirit of product design and continuous research into what our listeners actually want.
Serve face and keep it evidence-based. That's another tattoo, so.
Oh, gonna have to start.
More lower back space.
We're gonna be head to toe soon.
Speaking of trying to learn about what our listeners like and enjoy on our podcast, more importantly, because knowledge is power, what did you learn this season?
Not to kind of like rehash the things in our liked, but I think I learned a lot from our guests. For example, having Sisterhood on was super, super inspiring. I love to hear kind of how they approach entrepreneurship, and their friendship is really wholesome and lovely, and like navigating that without kind of tainting it. That has been really lovely to hear. Obviously, Andrea taught us so much about product management and kind of seeing the kind of sisterly love on the pod was lovely as well. And Adam, obviously, kind of, I loved seeing his passion for B2B design, because I don't think it's often something that people talk about. I feel like whenever you kind of hear of designers, they tend to be from like more B2C environments. And it was great to see someone enjoying the B2C side and learning from him as well. And I particularly loved our book episodes as well. I feel like I learned a lot from the books and from you having read the books and kind of talking, yeah, to the rest of us about them. So yeah, I think I learned from every episode, but the guest episodes and the book episodes were my fave. What about you two?
100%. Yeah, echoing all those sentiments, like, I think the guest episodes were, like, so much fun to record as well. And just, yeah, so nice to have people's perspectives. I think from my perspective, where I developed a few more skills, I think, is in editing. And this is, yeah, hashtag not sponsored, but I started using Descript, which is designed for particularly like podcast editing, and that they've released new features. I've just kind of stayed on top of some of their new releases like Studio Sound, and just from a technical perspective, it made it a lot easier from my corner in editing. And also shout out to my cousin Riley, who at the beginning of the podcast gifted me his very, very technologically intense mixer. It's like literally, I wish I could show you guys a picture of it. Basically, it's designed for live shows for four mics to be plugged into. It has like more like knobs and inputs and sliders than like Paris Hilton's DJ booth. Like, it is so intimidating. But fortunately, through some experimenting, I like learned a little bit more on how to use it. And I feel like that's a huge sense of accomplishment, because it is so technical. It intimidates me every day. But how about you, Yusin?
Yeah, that does sound like really challenging, actually. We've seen a picture of your mixer before, and I have no idea how you managed to make your podcast recording sound as good as they do, because that thing reminds me of, you know, getting chucked into a plane in a cockpit and like seeing all these different dials and stuff. I'm just trying to figure out like what works. It's
I watched Top Gun and I was like, child's play.
Yeah.
Oh, like only 20 buttons? Okay, Tom Cruise. Okay.
If we're stuck in a zombie apocalypse, I think you'll be the one responsible for flying the plane then.
Yeah. Well, flying the plane, mixing beats. Yeah.
Nice. At the same
time. Hope y'all like G6. No.
I think I definitely agree with what you said as well about like the guests, Lavinia. Yeah, I really loved hearing about what our guests did because it opened my eyes up to like lots of different things. Probably what I'm most familiar with is like a very general UX process, but it was great. Like, I think that we spoke to Sisterhood and kind of saw their application of the design process in a different way, like how they used some core tenets of like design principles to design programs for the girls and gender expanding youth that they work with. And it also like really blew my mind in terms of the great work they're doing for the community. I also really like hearing about how Adam collaborates with different groups of stakeholders in his organization to do B2B design and also product management techniques from Andrea, because it's just quite applicable to some of the work I'm doing now as well. It was just really educational, and listening to everyone speak with so much like conviction. Yeah, I definitely like had a lot of takeaways from that. In terms of what else I thought we learned, I thought we are really good actually at learning from what didn't work. So we used to have quite long episodes, and this goes back to the point that you mentioned earlier, Lauren. We realized that maybe it was like quite tricky to do like very long episodes with lots of content. So I think we kind of learned to vary that a little bit and try something else out. So varying the structure of our episodes, making them like more time boxed and shorter. And I think that worked out really well for us. So I think that's another thing we learned, basically learning from what doesn't work as well and trying to improve on that.
And speaking of someone that I love to learn from, we've got this week's Hotline Design Hotline caller.
Hey ladies, I'm Anita, a longtime listener and first-time caller. I'm interested in getting into the podcasting space myself, and I'd like to know what are some of the most valuable skills or things that have come out of your time doing the Hotline Design podcast. Thanks.
Hello, thank you so much for calling in. I think one of my biggest lessons was that together, we can do anything. So get great hosts and your sky is the limit. Also, it has vastly improved my organizational skills. I learned more about design stuff in general. I had a great excuse to spend a lot of time digging into quite deep into different design topics. And yeah, as I mentioned in that part of the episode as well, I learned a lot from Yusin and Lauren, and I don't know if that's as in-depth podcasting-wise as you maybe wanted it to be, but I do think that hosts help a lot podcast-wise. So get yourself some good ones.
At the market.
Yeah, at the market. At the podcasting
co-host
market.
Emporium.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lavinia. I almost feel like that was so wholesome. We should have reserved it for like the final answer. Yeah, the most valuable thing I think has just been the connection I have with both of you, because we started this as a passion project during lockdown, and it was what I think kind of kept me going. And we had these regular catch-ups about all things design, but also about, you know, like other aspects of our personal lives and how we are doing. And I think it was a very valuable anchor during that time. Anchor.fm, haha. But yeah, I think for me, the other thing I've learned is just being aware of how I communicate. And I honestly cringed so much when I had to edit. And this probably is one of the pain points I had as well. Like, I don't really enjoy listening to how I sound when I edit the podcast. But it just also made me acutely aware of how to be, I hope, a more succinct communicator. And also how many filler words I use that can downplay the confidence in what you're trying to say sometimes. So I think communication skills has been the top thing I learned directly from this podcast. Just being able to present and say things with conviction. But where that fails, like edit the filler words out.
Definitely. Yeah, I want to like echo both those things that you gals mentioned. And I just think, yeah, the success of this podcast has largely just been like such a wholesome and pure relationship between like all the co-hosts, and not only like the content we churn out, but also like the really great positive like female support has just been amazing. Also, just as Yusin was saying, the listening to yourself back kind of week in, week out is a lot of people's like worst nightmare. They're like, oh, it'll be like the equivalent of listening to someone scratch their nails on a chalkboard. I hate listening to myself. But in being able to listen and edit, like Yusin was saying, you kind of find areas in which you feel you could improve, in filler words that you use, in the confidence, in the tone. I've discovered I'm the light queen. I don't know how I became such a Valley California girl, but just being cognizant of that, trying to remove, I think, when I speak so that I'm kind of playing myself down a bit, even though I've got full confidence in what I'm saying, is another area. So it's really helped me to build confidence and also to talk on things that like maybe I'm not as familiar with, but just know that I can articulate something and it can sound confident. So it's really, really helped with those presentation skills, which I feel like could have really lapsed during COVID when you didn't really have to talk to anyone. Also, it's just been an honor to be a content creator and to feel empowered that, you know, if we can do this, we can do so much more. And the only barrier in getting something done or delivering something is really like having the confidence to believe in yourself to do it. It's not to hear from Nike's lawyers, but really, if you want something, just do it. Just try, have fun,
and
make mistakes.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like in a way we've almost come, not full circle, but it's quite a nice reflection on one of the first episodes you did about imposter syndrome. Because I think like when I first started, I definitely didn't feel like I was qualified to talk about a lot of these things. But then you feel that you have the capacity to learn if you just spend a bit of time every week, as we did with this podcast, just reading about different design topics, like you said, Lavinia, like doing our own bit of research and putting something together in the form of show notes. I think that's definitely helped me feel like I knew a bit more about the topic and to some extent combat that imposter syndrome feeling as well.
I love how you say like, yeah, the imposter syndrome kind of launching off full circle, and that starting off you feel like you don't have the legitimacy or the credentials, but you know, if ever we're on a plane and there's an emergency, if anyone says quickly, is there a podcaster on board, I feel like we can whip out our podcaster licenses and be like, yes, we are here to host and document all this. So I just, yeah, like love the idea of it becoming more like legitimized as we go forward. Amazing. Well, Anita, thank you so much for your very legitimate question. We really appreciate you calling in. If you've got a question, you can reach out to us on anchor.fm/hotlinedesignpod. You can find us on Instagram at hotlinedesignpod and Gmail at hotlinedesignpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening to season 2 of Hotline Design Podcast. And we can't wait to come back better than ever for season 3.